So welcome to Series 5, Episode 6 of Conversational Negro Mountain, a podcast about the tribe. I'm your host, Lance, and joining the podcast panel today is Liz.
Hello.
And Sabine.
Hi.
With episode notes done by Matt and myself. So Series 5, Episode 6, the screenplay was done by Tony Osborne. It was directed by Julian McSweeney. And the episode synopsis was read up by Sabine.
Jay and Amber have to work together to keep the city leaders on site. Slade has a test for Ram, while Lex faces a puzzle of his own in his search for Tysan.
I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I thought this was quite a step down from the last episode.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was the writing or the direction, but it just didn't land for me.
It has a couple moments that I like, but... Yeah. For the life of me, this episode could not make me invested in what these people were trying to do. Like, I don't care about the city. I don't care about the zombified kids. If the electricity goes back on, I don't care about people losing their minds and seeing Zoot. I don't care about Lex's quest for Tysan. I don't care about Slade trying to heal Gabe. I don't care if Gel gets kidnapped by mountain men. Like, there was nothing this episode could do to make me care about what these characters are going through. It was trying to, but I was like, skip. I just don't care.
I think seriously, Jack and Gel were more of the highlight of this part. And that's saying something.
Oh, yeah, we'll get to that. Oh,
but, oh, the Riddler.
I like the Riddler.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, let's jump straight into Lex's side quest there, because continuing his quest to try and find Tysan, Lex locates Ram's abandoned wheelchair whilst running into the dump kids, who force him to answer riddles in exchange for information.
Either you start giving me answers or this goes right in your face.
Doesn't matter. Pain, death, life. It's all the same here. What sits under a bridge and smells?
You're crazy. And you stink!
Stink!
Cleverer than you, though. Answer and I answer. What sits under a bridge and smells?
Your mother.
Wrong. Stupid boy, stupid. Your nose. A nose, see?
He does well figuring one out. That is until he ultimately loses patience and threatens to burn their stash of goods when they throw more riddles his way. So yeah, Riddler was fantastic. What did you make of this scene?
I really liked Riddler. He had, I don't know, he's unsettling. He has a little bit of Top Hat vibes. And, well, he's utterly annoying. But, yeah, Lex first not figuring it out. Sure, the guy in the back who continuously said, stupid boy, really annoyed the heck out of me. So I get Lex wanting to act on that. I don't think I would have had the patience for the riddles. So, can't say I blame him for trying to force his way to get his answers.
I'm terrible at riddles, so I would have been like, well, I would have had to give up the jig. Like, immediately, I would have to threaten to burn something. Be like, I can't do riddles. I'm remote. You know, I'm relatively intelligent, but I've never been good at riddles. So, I was impressed that Lex even figured one out, because I was just like, I have no idea. I have no idea. You know, I admire people who can do them, though, you know, but I suck at them. So I would have probably snapped much sooner than Lex. Kudos to him for even trying to, like, work through the problem. Like, they're willing to give me answers if I do this. Fine. You know, I like, yeah, that was pretty mature of him. And so, props for even trying, buddy, but I don't blame him for finally saying, okay, that's enough. Yeah, I'm not playing your games anymore. You've had your entertainment at my expense. I loved the Riddler. I loved the dump kids. I just thought they were really, in the same way that Liberty feels like a lived in place with real people who survived in this world. That's what these kids reminded me of. They have their own little thing going on, their own little tiny cult. They're crazy without malice. And that's always appreciated. Mm-hmm. they're not causing anybody any trouble. They're not going after people. Remember, he's in their territory and he wants something from them. And they are entertaining themselves by being the bridge trolls, you know, because if he doesn't want to deal with them, all he has to do is walk away. They're not attacking him. They're not fighting him. They're not robbing him. They're just like, oh, if you want information, you have to entertain us, you know? And I'm just like, I like these guys. I really do. They're a nice, like, slice of life in Tribe World. I love the makeup. I love the costuming. And I just really loved Riddler. I loved all his expressions, the way he chose to talk. I found him quite fascinating. Wouldn't want to be in a tribe with him because, yeah, that would get old fast. But, you know, I wouldn't be upset that I ran into him. You know? I'm like, well, that was my surrealist moment of the day.
He looks familiar, though. Did we see some of these guys before? Like, my brain keeps going to the moment where Trudy was searching for Brady, and I have a feeling she came across some of these people.
I can't remember.
No, I don't either. I don't recall seeing any of them before, but this doesn't mean that they weren't there.
Mm.
Oh, treasure! they kind of reminded me of those wild children in Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. Walker! I was like, I'm kind of interested in your lore.
Yep.
It's okay that I never see them again. You know, they felt real enough for the time we spent with them. I felt like we'd run into real people who, I'm like, you clearly have a story, but it wasn't necessary to tell the story. The way they dress, the way they talk, the way they interact told you a huge bit of their story of who they are. And I was like, that was just well handled. Didn't care if Lex got the answers, but I was invested in their back and forth. I didn't. I'm sorry. You know I don't care. But I was invested in their back and forth. I found that intriguing and fun and said a little bit about Lex's character growth, considering there's so little of it.
Yeah.
You know, just the way he chose to handle this was on par with a more intelligent Lex that we've seen in the past. You know, she's like, okay, fine, I'll play your game to get what I need. And, you know, it showed the kind of intelligence he had back in season one of solving his problems, but it also showed a maturity that he didn't have in season one, because he doesn't immediately go to violence or overpowering anybody when it's like, I don't have to do that if I want to get what I want. You know what I mean? I just was like, okay, that's a Lex I want to see more of.
Yeah, I mean, I really liked how he had spotted the kind of treasure trove earlier on. And then after realizing that he couldn't hurt Riddler because Riddler didn't care if he got beaten up or not, he then used that as the kind of bargaining chip rather than trying to beat them all up. I thought that was pretty good for Lex to work out.
And it's a nice location. Like, they made the good use of the location. It was like, I don't know, the set design. It felt like a real place. And, I was like, that was a nice use of the dump, especially since it kind of was introduced as a joke to get rid of Ram. You know, I like that they did something with the location. I like the fact that their treasure isn't worth anything. It's just their treasure, though. It's only worth something to them. That's another interesting facet about them. Like, there's nothing in there. Lex doesn't look at it and think, I want to steal any of that. You know what I mean? It's like, it's worthless, but it means something to them, so...
He has better treasure in his own hideaway.
You've been with Amber again. I can smell her on you.
This is stupid.
Oh, no. It's fine by me. You do what you want.
We were going to head south. Start over, you and me. You remember?
Oh, I remember. But you decided to come back. North with Amber, remember? Guess I should have known better than to trust a dream. Or you.
Visiting Ebony, it quickly becomes clear to Jay that their relationship is well and truly over. He tries to bring up their plans to leave, but Ebony reminds him that he flew all that way and stayed because of Amber. Jay mentions how can she be with him if he doesn't trust him, and Ebony states that he is finally getting the picture. So, panel, this has been building up. What did you make to the end of Jebony?
Meh, don't care.
I mean, they needed to end. He's a crappy boyfriend to her, and he's done nothing but let her down, and she's not jumping over his hurdles anymore to be with him. She deserves better, which is crazy, because it's freaking Ebony.
Right.
She still deserves better than that guy. You know, if someone's going to be your partner, he's not a partner to her and hasn't been. And, I really hated how he tried to turn this around on her when she's like, you know, I don't care if we're a couple anymore. You know what I mean? And he has the audacity to be like, but what about the plans we made? And I'm so glad she was like, oh, you mean the plans that you threw out for that woman? And he's got nothing to say to that because it was just a manipulation tactic, you know. What does he do? He pivots to, how can we be together if you don't trust me? And again, she doesn't fall for it. She's just like, yeah, I don't. Obviously, yeah, finally cottoned on. I don't trust you. And he's done nothing to try and earn it. He doesn't want to fix the problems. He just wants her to shut up about the problems and stay on board. And she has refused to do that. And he wants to be the victim in this, even though he caused this entire breakup. He did all of this damage. She didn't actually do any of it, which is crazy because, again, it's Ebony.
Ebony, yeah.
And for the first time, she's not the one who sabotaged this relationship. He did, but he gets to act like, oh, she gave up on us. And that's the way he will continue acting. He will be butthurt. This is a man who wants and wants and wants from her, but never gives anything to her. And then has the audacity the day she's like, I'm done giving to you and getting nothing back to play like, I can't believe it. She just left me. It's like, that's what you wanted her to do. Because in the same day, you are back with your actual obsession, the same person you want to be. And you're going to act when you're with Ebony, you're going to act like, how could she do this to you? And it's like, this is what you wanted. Ugh. I was glad she was just like, I'm done. I'm sorry she's going crazy, but I'm glad that she's just like, I'm done. And she didn't give him anything, you know, she didn't feed his narcissism. She gave him nothing. She was just like, yeah, bye.
I mean, we can't talk about this without jumping a little bit ahead and talking about the aftermath. Like, writers, could you not wait at least one episode before you have him throw himself at Amber's feet? Like, you make this guy so slimy and despicable. Like, how are we supposed to, like, connect with him and his goal being with Amber? Like, I don't get it. I just don't get it.
I don't know what they're going for with him. I don't know if it's just he's such a self-insert that they literally can't see him through the proper eyes, you know? I don't know what they were doing with him.
Every time I see this, I'm just thinking, okay, who wrote this and is this how they treated women? Like, or is this how they think women like to be treated? I just can't with Jay. He's just, nope.
Yeah, no, he's actually gotten worse than what I even remembered. It's just like, I can't with this guy. And you're trying to make me like him. He's like, no, it's never going to happen.
Nope. I never liked him, and it's only getting worse.
Like, this season is supposed to be his redemption tour for what he did in season 4, you know?
Yeah.
And they were like, he doesn't need a redemption because he didn't even do anything wrong. It's like, wow, you can't actually see the character you wrote, can you? I don't know, man. It's just crazy. And constantly, right out, just like right after that scene with Ebony, you have the audacity to give us another one where once more, another character is just like, you're a good man, Jay. Like, how many, it's said twice in this episode.
The only way to try and redeem anything of Jay is if he would, you know, die by jumping in front of a zapper set to kill. And even then. Depends. If it was aimed at Brady, like, sure, maybe. But other than that, no. Nope. Unless he used himself as a human shield for Brady or Mouse, I don't think there's any way for redeeming Jay.
They're not even trying because they don't believe he needs to be redeemed. They don't think he's done anything wrong. They genuinely think he's the victim. And I'm like, the victim of what? Of his own actions, I guess?
Yeah, I think that is the worst part of it, that they don't believe he needs redemption at all.
No, because only women can do true wrong.
And the thing is, I'm okay with him not being redeemed. Like, if you want a character to be that way, fine. But stop trying to convince me. It, like, it's clear that you want redemption because you're constantly telling us he's a great person by having a character that we respect say it to his face over and over again. I mean, in one scene, he's sitting there thinking about, you know, what he did with the technos and what he allowed to happen. And in that flashback, he's remembering Amber saying, I think you're a good man. I believe you're a good man, blah, blah, blah. And then Trudy's like, you okay? And then she tells him, you're a good man, Jay. It's like, how much affirmation does a character have to have? If he were a good man, you wouldn't have to keep saying it. He would just be a good man. But you don't write him as a good man.
And the examples they try to give between him and Ved, that's just, how does that make Jay seem like a good person?
And it wouldn't be so offensive if they weren't trying to convince us that he was.
Yeah.
Because I'm not saying he has to be. He doesn't have to be a good person. He's a character. All right. That's fine. Stop writing him as the worst person ever and then trying to convince us over and over again that he's not. That's the crime. That's what makes it egregious. Just let him be a jerk. That's why you wrote him. You clearly wanted him to be one. So just let him be that. I mean, can you imagine, like, people constantly telling Lex that he was a good man in season one? Can you imagine that?
I'm trying, yeah.
just constantly being told by someone, like, by Samin or Amber, Lex, you're a good man. You know what I mean? Like, no, he wasn't. And that's okay. That was his character.
Yeah.
I mean, even Bray didn't get this glazed.
No. Not even Bray.
And he was the original self-insert. Yeah. Come on. I am glad for Ebony's sake, though. Because when you see these kind of couples, I am glad for Ebony's sake that she was the one who decided she was done. Because there's nothing worse than seeing these kind of couples where the person who treats the other one like crap also, like, leaves them and that person is left crying and heartbroken. I love that Ebony picked herself back up. And basically, she did the leaving. She was just like, you're not even here. You've been gone, you know, so I'm okay. I'm accepting that. I'm not asking you to come back. You know what I mean? And that's what he wanted her to do. Keep fighting for a relationship that he exited ages ago. Jay is definitely the divorce came out of nowhere kind of person.
All right, yeah. We'll come to the aftermath of that in a little bit. But first, Jack continues to try and keep an oblivious Jell out of trouble.
Yeah, don't know about you, but if we're going to be back on the road, I'd rather be on a horse's back than on my feet.
You're going to try and trade batteries for a horse?
Yeah, that's the idea.
Jack, what if no one wants to trade?
Then I'll steal one.
They kill people for that.
Hide know from a group of thugs who clearly state that they are out looking for girls. He resolves to either trade for or steal a horse to get him out of liberty, but ends up being caught in the act, with Gale being found shortly after. So yeah, what did you make of the continuing adventures of Jack and Gale and the thugs' stated intention?
I did like that they brought this darker aspect back into the show. The realities of life in this world. It's been a while since they've been willing to just acknowledge that this is something that people have to deal with. And that someone like Jell, is a perfect target. Because it's really dark when you think about it. She's, 14, 15 years old? She's a little girl. And there are these young men trying to find her. And it's certainly not for anything good. Like, that's what they woke up to do today. You know what I mean? Like, and that's her only priority. She's not a side quest. She is the goal. That is messed up. And considering, like, they're so dead set on finding this pretty young woman for very nefarious reasons. Come on. Nothing good's going to come out of this. You know, they're not going to ask her to dance. Okay. And, that's really dark. And it's being played for laughs, but I mean, what Jack is trying to protect her from isn't a joke.
Yeah.
And what he's willing to do, he could just, it'd be so easy for him to leave her, you know, and the fact that he has chosen, like, no, I cannot leave this girl because she's going to get it if I do, you know, if she hadn't found Jack to think the trouble that she would have ended up in, because she would have been found. She would have been captured back in the city, you know. It's pretty dark. And I was like, wow, it's been a while since they've touched on these kind of, you know, subject matter in this world.
Like, seeing how clueless he can be, I often wonder if Jack's initial response is, okay, I need to help her. She's like, sees what Patsy could have been like at that age. And even Patsy wasn't that clueless, but, you know, had she ended up with the modes, she probably would have. But it's like, it's a young innocent girl. We have to protect it. Even if we have to steal a horse.
I mean, it doesn't endear me to her. It doesn't make me
enjoy. It endears me to him.
It does. It definitely endears me to Jack. I just feel bad that this is who he ran into. I wish she were a more interesting character so that I'd be invested in protecting her too. I'm not, though. Vicky, it's not your fault.
I just want Jack to be the savior for once, you know? Well, not for once. I mean, I vividly remember the scene with Chloe, with the trying to fight off people. But, yeah, I don't know. I really like it, just to see this side of Jack.
I feel like they're trying to recapture something with Jack and Jell, but it's not working for me. Like, when you brought up that scene with him and Chloe.
The Chloe, yeah.
It's like they're trying to recapture that feeling, but it's not there. Because, again, the person he's paired with isn't written to be a very interesting person or someone that you want to watch or follow or invested in her being okay. You know, she's just kind of a burden to keep Jack from the mall, which is okay. I don't want to be at the mall either, so it's fine. Which is messed up, because here's Jack. I'm happy to see him, but I don't care if he makes it home to his people. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not like, oh my gosh, I can't wait for him to get back to the mall and see everyone. It's like, no, Jack, you're probably better off not going back to the mall. Find better people. Because you being away, you keep improving as a human being, but your friends at the mall do not. I hate to break it to you. Things just keep getting worse every time you come home, Jack. So, you know, I'll follow your adventures, but you don't need to get back to the mall anytime soon.
Fed up of waiting on Ram, Slade sources a wheelchair for him so he can be more independent.
Don't you think maybe we should...
No, leave him. Ever broken in a horse, Ruby? The way to do it is you don't give in. Not ever. Eventually they get the picture. They're the ones who have to give in. So they do.
Initially furious, he continues to demand to be brought food, but Slade treats the exercise like breaking in a horse and waits it out. Eventually, a wheelchair-enthroned Ram announces that he's back with a vengeance. What did you make of The Other Side of Liberty, Slade's treatment of Ram?
It's about time.
I'm so torn about this one, because on one hand, I know how hard it can be being the person who's physically unable to do stuff and then have people not willing to help you. But on the other hand, I've seen plenty of physical rehab therapists do the exact same, well, similar thing to what Slade's doing. Like, okay, you want something? Fine. Here's a wheelchair. There's what you want. Make your way there. Like, normally with supervision, but, you know, Ram just needed this level of tough love.
Because it's not that, I don't, you know, Slade clearly doesn't have a problem with the fact that Ram needs help. I mean, he rescues him. He nurses him back to health. He's clearly changing his diapers. He's feeding him. He's footing the bill for this guy, you know, with no thanks. It's Ram's determination not to put any effort into improving his own situation.
Yeah.
That's what Slade's fed up with. It's that Ram does not want to help himself. He wants to be waited on. You know, he wants people to do the hard work for him. And at that point, it's like, you're healthy enough. You're fine. You're clearly not going to die. You're fine. There are things you can't do, and Slade is clearly happy to do that for him. But it's Ram doesn't even want to try. And not to mention, this is the way he's talking to and treating the person who saved him from death's door. it was about time Slade was like, he brought him food. He was just like, you're going to have to get your butt out of that bed, or at least try to get the food. But Ram has clearly not tried at all from the moment that Slade has rescued him. And at this point, he's like, okay, you have all these delusions about the revenge you're going to get on the people who did this to you. You're not going to be able to do it in that bed. So get up. He brought him a wheelchair. It'd be different if he was just like crawling your belly, you know, if he was doing it as a humiliation ritual, but he's not. He's just like, if you want help, you got to at least put some effort in helping yourself.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to get revenge on anybody sitting there whining.
Nope. Oh, and this was just, it was so needed. Not just, you know, to get him to do this, but mentally for Ram as well, to know that he could do this. Because I doubt he's tried to do something like this for ages.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe when he first got injured, but...
Injured in quotation marks, we don't
know. Yeah. bad fall, hurt his back, and get up. Fell off that swing in his imaginary dream house.
It's so wild. Of all the things they chose to retcon in season 5, of all of the things they chose to retcon... This is what they went with.
Yeah.
I wonder if at some point it was just, okay, it's not practical to have this kid who's playing a villain in a wheelchair, so guess we gotta make him walk, because we can't have a bad guy in a wheelchair anymore.
And we're not gonna address any of that setup of him being sick, needing medication, dying.
None of it, yeah.
It's nope. Wild.
All he needed was some fresh country air and some tough love. And
that is a massive...
That's like... for me, that's... I think that's my major issue with this whole part. It's... I like the way Slade handled it, but my issue is with the general, okay, so if you just, you know, don't give him an option, the people who can't walk will walk. It's like you can just... physical disability is just a matter of, you know...
Stubbornness. It's in your mind.
It's in your mind. Get over it.
You're lazy.
I mean, I've heard most of those things in my life. So as someone with physical disability issues, it irks me to such a severe level when they pull things like this with a, oh, nah, all he needed was an attitude adjustment.
Yeah, it's just put it down in the books as one more thing that the show treats like mental illness. You just got to walk it off. You just have to be determined enough. You just have to be tough enough. You know, you have to want it enough, and you're cured of these issues.
Yep, and that's just a narrative I will never be able to get behind.
It's comical because it's so crazy what they just chose to retcon with Ram. But yeah, unfortunately, when you take a step back and you just look at this overall theme that's been in the show since season one of treating things like this, and it's just like, it makes you question the writers, you know, it makes you question the creatives, what they actually think about these issues. You know, because it just keeps coming back over and over again, some of these themes, and you're just like, okay, you're telling on yourself a lot here.
It's like, at least back in season one with Paul, they did not try to make him less deaf.
They just got rid of him.
Yeah. but they didn't.
If he stayed long enough.
Yeah, but they didn't magically make his disability go away.
Because he wasn't around long enough.
Yeah, it would have happened if he was there long enough. They would have found a way.
They would have, like, if Paul had stuck around into the bad writing. But yeah, again, even in season one, they treated like Trudy's mental health issues as she's a spoiled brat and she needs tough love. She needs to, you know, get up and see the real world and have an epiphany to get over her freaking depression and all the things that were valid things she was going through, because she was being a pain in the butt. And then she did, magically, got over it all. And you're just like, wait, what? Like, what was that?
Yeah.
What are you telling me about her as a person? You're telling, because the way they treat it, they're telling you, oh, there was nothing wrong with Trudy. She was just a brat. She was entitled.
She just, She just needed to pet some goats.
Right, you know, and it's like, but was that really the case? You know what I mean? And you know, but that's how they treat all of the mental issues and disabilities of all kinds.
That's how they treated with Trudy, with a, you have to pet a goat. And later on, oh, after everything he went through with the Chosen, ah, go with Pride, go hug some trees, and it's over.
And I'm like, after 5 seasons and you're still doing this, it tells you something about the people behind this.
Hmm.
What they think about this stuff.
And even... even, you know, what we saw in the earlier seasons with some of the issues that seemed back then seemed more obvious about Jack, and suddenly we're in season 5 and he's a lot less awkward, and it wasn't just he's awkward because his responses were more, you know, towards the autistic spectrum.
Little autism
vibes. Mm-hmm. As Ray confirmed back then, but season 5, that's suddenly magically gone?
Yep, he just needed to grow up. He needed to grow up, he needed to go out in the world. Celine, she just needed to go away for a little while, and then all of her issues, 3 seasons of issues, were cured.
So wait, all the issues are just because of the mall, or the city.
Right.
The water in the city must be.
So yeah, on the surface, the scene with Slade and Ram, it's like, oh yeah, good. Somebody needs to tell this brat to cut it out. But when you step back, the bigger picture, it's a messed up message.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like they were ambiguous about what was wrong with Ram. I mean, it wasn't
what makes it worse. Yeah,
it wasn't vague what was wrong with Ram. The guy is literally paralyzed from the waist down.
He was paralyzed. He was gravely ill on death's door. And then that's it.
And suddenly all the storing of all the medication and everything, it just makes...
Ugh. Those were plot lines, for Pete's sake.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
But it's just like in this season they just woke up and decided it's not convenient for us anymore if he's in a wheelchair.
Nope.
My next question for you, my memory of season 5 is hazy, but he doesn't move around much. So it's not like they had to get rid of the wheelchair specifically. Like, I'm confused.
I feel like the wheelchair was the least of Ram's problems.
Right.
Maybe it didn't match well with the decor in Liberty or something. But that was about it.
Because yeah, he spends like 90% of his time in Liberty. So it's like, did you really need to get rid of the wheelchair? Like,
he spends a lot of time
with a disability.
Mm. A lot of time sitting. But again, that was the least of his problems.
But we're not supposed to think anything about this.
Apparently not.
All right, cool. That brings us to our final thoughts of the episode. Back in the city, Jay and Amber are forced to work together in an attempt to stall the tribe leader's demands for the power to be switched back on. The truth doesn't work, as there have already been leaked information that the Morettes have the capability. Amber places the blame squarely on Ebony's shoulders. Later, Amber opens up to Jay about her worries for the city and her fear about the Zoot situation.
Is that the way it's going to be then? And there's nothing we can do? We're just going to sit back and watch the city fall into darkness, into that Zoot madness we thought we'd left behind forever? Everything we fought for is just gone, like we've made no progress at all, and it's just the same as it was in the beginning when the virus came.
No, we'll make them see. We'll make them.
This leads to a kiss, with Amber pulling away, and Jay protesting that she must feel this thing between them. Amber, however, tells Jay that they can never be together. Although she no longer blames him personally for Bray's death, it will always come between them. So yeah, panel, Jay wastes no time at all. What did you make of the situation here between the two?
First, I have to say I'm happy to see some familiar faces and some familiar tribes back with the whole tribe leader thing. But yeah.
But this is the problem. They've not been here. They've not been around. We've not seen how any of this has affected them. So when they just suddenly pop up now, yeah, put the power back on. I'm like, well, where have you been?
They didn't take down the technos.
No!
It was just the Mallrats and the Guyans. By the end of season 4, we had just like, oh, okay, so apparently all of the tribes are like addicted to this thing.
Yeah.
All of them. and all of a sudden these guys have the audacity to show up making demands. As soon as she said she has a meeting with the tribe leaders, I was like, you know what? I've already disengaged from this plot line. This is so stupid. They did it all through season four. Tribe leaders only popped up when it was necessary, but otherwise they might as well not have existed in this world. And so having them pop up now, I felt the opposite. I was not happy to see the familiar faces. It actually pissed me off when I saw Jet. And I was just like, you guys are all sorry excuses for tribe leaders. You really are, because you lead nothing. You have no imprint on this city, and you shouldn't even get a say. It's the one time where I'm just like, why are you even bothering to talk to these people? You should be able to unilaterally decide what you're going to do, because you unilaterally took down the technos. You were the only ones. You don't need to give these people answers or explanations. This is not the time for freaking democracy anymore. These people don't want a democracy. It pissed me off so much that they had the audacity to be screaming at Amber, who came back to the city to save you idiots, and you don't want to do anything to help yourselves. You shouldn't even exist. You don't exist. I'm not buying that these people are here. It pissed me off. It just made me angry. I hated it. I hated that whole thing.
I guess it's more to, they remembered what tribes were actually in the city. Even though, like, the girls that were dressed as Mozzies definitely weren't part of the Mozzies earlier.
And I as much as it bothered, you know, I feel bad that Ebony is blamed for something that Mega obviously did. And it does crack me up that neither Jay or Amber even considered Mega, who was opposed to telling the tribe leaders.
Yeah.
I don't blame her for assuming Ebony did it. I mean, why should she trust Ebony? Ebony, it's not like she hasn't sabotaged them before. And she is losing her mind talking about seeing Zoot. Okay, so I wouldn't trust her either. So it's not that I hate that Amber jumped to the conclusion that it must be, you know, Ebony. It's a solid conclusion for her to come to, given who Ebony is. But I still thought it was like, Megan never came to mind ever. Why do you so trust him? I mean, Amber, you were literally talking to him. You showed caution and wary of him. You know, you're clearly paying attention to him, like, overstepping his authority. You had to remind him. Yeah, no, you're under our authority. So that shouldn't be forgotten when you guys are so obviously sabotaged here. You know, and Jay has the audacity to be like, no, you were right. We should have just been straight with them. And I would have been like, yeah, I know I was right. Okay. I've dealt with these people for a really long time.
Yep.
You know, take your sorry and shove it. I liked Amber's performance. I really like when she just suddenly kind of breaks, goes jelly, you know, and just starts admitting how scared she is, because this is all very familiar, you know, and I would love her to, you know, I'd like them to start having conversations of, why are we still doing this? Like, we can make a better world, but why does it have to be here in this city? Because I'm like, you guys really haven't touched ground on why it's the city you're trying to save. You know, what are you holding on to? It almost feels like a sunk cost fallacy at this point for them. Because if they finally give up on the city, then you have to look back at all the years you fought for it as a waste of your time. You can't get that back. And that's a really hard pill for anyone to swallow. But it leaves you, that leaves them in this cycle of fighting for this place. And it's like, why? You're living in constant misery and in danger and losing people that you love. And you know there are better options out there. Why this city? Why here so much? It's just not working for me anymore. Like, this is our home.
No,
like,
yeah.
You guys have made homes other places. You've been happy and safe in other places. And yeah, this obsession with keeping the city, now that you know that the people you cared about that were taken by the technos aren't coming back, what are you doing?
Yeah, literally no more reason to say, like, you can go.
I mean, Amber, you came back to stop the Technos to get Bray back. The Technos killed him. Take your son back to the woods.
Is either one of you wondering if it's surprising how Amber doesn't respond more stressed from dealing with this crowd who's against her?
No.
Because when she left this city in at the end of season 3, like, the tribes threw tomatoes at her while she was heavily pregnant and everything. Yet there's not a single moment of hesitation.
She's always been good at that, though. You know, it's just something in her core of a person to stand up even when she's terrified or traumatized. She'll do it anyway. She's always done it from the day we met her. She never was one to shy away from a scary situation to do what was right, or what she thought was right, no matter how scared she was, you know? And so it doesn't surprise me that she was able to face them. And that's why I like that they gave her a little breakdown after the situation when she felt safe to let it go and admit how terrified it all is. And even when she says, like, we're right back at the dark places again. And it's like, what are we doing? You know, like, is that what we fought for, to just end up here again, you know, and admitting the fear? And so it doesn't surprise me she was able to put on the strong face and do what needed to be done. I would have been upset if they didn't show that it had an effect on her. So I was glad they included that. Even if it was just a moment for her and Jay, blah, blah, blah. I hate those two together. I hate it. Yeah. Hate it. Hate everything about it. Amber, you deserve better. What are you doing? Why are you attracted to this
Amber,
man? I don't
Amber,
get it.
Amber,
writers, I hate you.
even I feel she deserves better. Come on.
I can't do this to her. Don't do this to her. I hate it. I hate everything that happens.
Like, why this man? Ugh, of all the men, why this one? That she's just, she wants him. That it's a struggle to stay away from him because she can't reconcile, you know, the role he played. I just don't get it. I'm like, yeah, he's pretty, you know, and he's capable of doing good things. But it's just, gross.
There's not a lot of good things he's capable of, though.
I wish they explored more. Of what? I mean, if you're going to have this love story, and again, I don't need Amber to fall in love with a patron saint, but you need to convince me that she would do this. And they don't put the effort in convincing me that Amber would be with Jay, especially when more happens through this season. Mm-hmm. It's one thing, I can accept her discounting how he treated Ebony. You know what I mean? But it's like, you're going to...
Yeah, that's Ebony.
It's not just that. Like, you will see how he will do your own best friend wrong. But you want him so much, you will excuse that. You know what I mean? Like, it's just not her. I don't buy it.
No.
And you don't give me any good reason. And she doesn't talk about it. She doesn't talk about the fact that she wants someone... Like, Tysan talked about wanting someone who is so contradictory to her view on life. And honor and truth and justice and the New Zealand way, whatever. Like, she talked out loud about her attraction to Lex and how hard it was for her to reconcile that this is the person she's fallen for. You know what I mean? They don't do that with Amber. They never have her explain what it is about Jay that she has fallen in love with, and she can overlook all of the other stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And again, it's probably because they think he's a great person. So they don't think that there should be any conflict for Amber outside of him being with the Technos. Like, that's apparently the only conflict she has about this guy. None of his other actions come into play, you know? Oh, my word. I just...
Yeah. And he's still at this point, still wearing that bloody Techno uniform, even though he knows... that it's a physical reminder, a visual reminder for Amber that he was a Techno.
Because that's Jay. Talk about it. Jay claims over and over and over again for most of the season how much he wants Amber. But does he put any effort into getting her? Aside from stalking her. That's literally all he does. Wander around, stare at her, push into her personal space. But does he put any effort into being what would be good for her. Like, I don't know, wiping off the visible reminder of who the heck he was with, claims he's not with anymore. Every time she looks at his face, she has to look at that freaking T.
Yep.
And no, and the tea from nightmares, I'm sure she still has all of that.
Right.
That would require effort on Jay's part. But we know Jay puts no effort into his relationships at all.
We can't have that.
That is crazy. He dresses like someone she sees in her nightmares.
Oh. Right, I was like, yes, that's who she loves.
That's who she loves.
She can't go without.
My gosh.
Oh.
Yeah, but of course he's that's not an issue. He's just not being wasteful.
Wow.
Sorry, it's the only reason I can come up with why he's still wearing this bloody outfit. Because it fits, so why waste it until it falls apart, right?
And we're still at a point where the jamber is salvageable. Like, from a writing standpoint, it's salvageable. You can still win people over with this couple, but they decide to do the opposite. It's,
well, I don't understand.
They don't get it. They go out of their way to make you hate Jamber. Right. I don't understand what they were thinking.
This is what I don't understand, because you said exactly that. Like, if you want us to make this work, then fine. But then you do go, yeah, literally go out of their way to make us hate it to our core. And it's like, and then you turn around and go, why don't you like them? Well, because you did this.
And you
purposely set out to do it. Like,
yep.
Why? I don't get it. Why?
I don't understand what they were going for at all.
A loss, really. If you wanted to make this work, you absolutely do not ruin her friendship with her closest friend. Why?
How many people needed to end up under the wheels of this bus? Like, I don't understand. Did they do it for the plot, just for the drama? You know what I mean? Did they think it was exciting to destroy these characters and then think we'd root for these two?
it feels like it at times.
Like, oh my gosh, there are Ebony fans, there are Trudy fans, there are Amber fans, and you destroyed life for every set of those fans for this couple.
It's like they went, okay, we don't want to will they, won't they? We want to, let's ruin everything, and then they can be together.
And everyone will be happy.
And yeah, we'll be happy.
Everyone will be cheering for them. Yay!
No!
And they will rub salt in the wound by having Trudy take the blame for being treated like scum by these two people. They'll rub it in by having Jay and Ebony talk in Liberty and him still have the audacity to lie to her face when she's just like, so you're saying you didn't want her the whole time? And he's like, no, I didn't. And it's like, why are you doing this? It's like you think it can't get worse, and it will. It'll just keep getting worse with these two.
That's what I'm dreading.
I know. I'm like, wow. I'm just thinking about it. I'm like, it'll keep getting worse. It's like Pride. You know, you're like, I know he's a jerk, but wow. Why do you want me to hate Pride so badly?
I mean, this season is just about justifying my hatred for Amber.
Oh,
because of the choices she makes in this season.
Like, why would you do this to my girl? Yep, everybody deserved better than Jay.
Even Danny would have deserved better than Jay.
Of course Danny would have deserved better than Jay. But I would have loved to see Danny give it to him.
Yep.
Like, Danny would be like, I'm not trapped in here with you. You're trapped in here with me.
Yep.
I'm a psychological minefield, baby.
That's what Jay deserved. She didn't deserve him. Like, but
Danny, whip him into shape.
That would have been fun. Danny amongst the technos.
Danny would have Karened her way to victory.
Mm-hmm. And she would have been like Jay. Oh, I want schools. I want this. I want that. And then not do anything of it.
I don't care who has to die for me to get it.
Don't care how, I want it now.
See, Danny would absolutely make sense as a techno. It absolutely would make sense for her personal character journey and the unnecessary, but she thought she had this weight on her shoulders to repair the damage that her parents did. I get it. She would have absolutely made a good techno.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sorry, like, even with Aubrey around, like, just her paying off of Jay and Amber, it would have been fantastic.
Mega would have been like, I love her.
Yep. Now that's a pairing I could get behind.
Well, Mega and Danny. That's interesting.
By any means necessary for order.
All right, cool. That brings Series 5, Episode 6, to a close. Thank you very much to the panel, and we'll see you next time for Episode 7. So until then, bye.
Bye.
Bye.